Thanks for coming tonight. Appreciate your interest in our study. We'll begin a study tonight of the book of Isaiah. What's he called in the New Testament, Angela?
He is the...
What's he called in the New Testament?
Prophet. He's Messianic.
Oh, what's he called in the New Testament?
Who?
Isaiah.
Isaac.
Who knows?
Son of Amos?
Elijah? Israel?
No. Israel? That's Jacob. Isaiah. You see that word occasionally? You wonder who that was? Isaiah. Angela? You didn't know that. E-S-A-I-A-S. So next time you see that word, you know it's Isaiah. I forgot. I-S-A-I-A-S. Okay, Isaiah. The keynote, what did you put down for the keynote? Mabel.
That was coming of Christ.
So, here's what you should have put on the top of that beginning of the book of Isaiah. Salvation in the one to come. I got that on point three. I got that in the notes for you. Now, I gave you a sheet, and you should have that, which points out the keynote for every book in the Bible. And what I wanted you to do with that is to take your own Bible, and at the front of your own Bible, write down salvation in the one to come over the book of Isaiah. And when you get through, you will have at the top of the beginning of each of these books what the book's about. Remember? Who's kept up with that and got it all done?
I've got some.
Who's got it all? Through the book of Revelation. I don't see your hand. Just one? Rebecca? Great.
Have it in the Bible.
Work on that. Would you do that? It's your own book so that you... I look at us. See, I don't know what that's about. Salvation is the one to come. And by the way, rest of the prophets, same thing. I gave the sheet with all that on in both Old and New Testaments. That'll help you, by the way, as you look through this book. Right. Now, Isaiah is the first book in a series of books known as the Major Prophets. Why are they called Major Prophets? Laura. Laura.
I don't know.
Who said something about it?
Because they're bigger books.
Yeah, they're longer books, more chapters. Some of them are called Minor Prophets. Not because they're less important, but they're shorter books. Okay? So we kind of divide between the major and the minor. That's just kind of a way of identifying the shorter books. That's all that is. Okay? Isaiah is a major prophet because he's a long book, 66 chapters. The other major prophets are Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel, of which we'll study. Isaiah has been called the Prince of the Prophets. And he is known as the Messianic Prophet. What's the word Messianic tell you, Anne? Messianic.
That would refer to the coming of Christ?
It refers to Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the Messiah, yes. The Messiah. The basic meaning of the word Isaiah is Jehovah is salvation. His work began in the last year of Uzziah, according to Isaiah 1:1 and 6:1. And his work lasted well into the reign of Hezekiah at the fall of Samaria. This man Isaiah was a prophet. And what is a prophet, Will?
A mouth for God.
Just a mouth for God. How would you go about proving that's what that is? That a prophet is a mouth for God. How do you go about doing that? Who knows? How do you go about doing that? You want to try that, Mabel?
Well, you read it where he says that.
Well, I didn't get that. Speak up. A little louder.
So the way God says out of his mouth.
No.
The way they talk. When I was reading.
Who knows? Anybody really know?
Inspired.
Well, that's involved. How do you go about pointing that out? There's a little story in the Old Testament. Andrew, do you already know this?
I may not realize.
Jenny, do you? Mm-hmm. Nobody know it? Okay, here's where it goes, Debbie. When God called on Moses to lead his people, one excuse Moses gave was what? I'm not a good speaker. I can't speak very well. And what did God tell him, Rebecca? You remember offhand?
I'm sorry.
Remember what God told him when he said that?
That he would have his brother Aaron there.
I'll have Aaron to speak for you. Later, God called Aaron Moses' prophet. He was said to be a prophet because he was a mouth for his brother. And so the word prophet simply meant a mouth. One who does what? Speaks for another. In this case, for God. That's how you identify that. From way back in the book of Exodus. And the story of Moses. Remember that? Be sure and put that in your computer. You have trouble remembering anybody? Loretta's reading a book on trying to teach me and her how to remember. She's doing pretty good with it. I'm struggling.
Yeah.
But anyhow, that's what a prophet is. One who speaks for another. So Isaiah and these other prophets, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and so on, were mouths for God in that they spoke God's message by inspiration. Okay? Isaiah was a mouth in Jerusalem and Judea, although he cried out against both Israel and Judah. Isaiah 1:1 and 2:1. And this book, the book of Isaiah, covers a period of time from about 7040 to 700 B.C. That's the time frame in which we are studying in the book of Isaiah. Now let me give you a little background for the book. You'll have a better inkling of what goes on in the book if you know kind of the background of it. Here it is. And I got in the outline for you. Point two. After the death of Solomon, the empire built by David divided into two kingdoms. It split, remember? Between Judah and Israel. The years that followed were very hard, difficult, bitter years. And the reason that is Solomon had brought in idolatry. And after his death, idolatry became more and more part of the religious life of the people of Judah. The northern kingdom, old Jeroboam, introduced what was known as calf worship. In fact, it was made the national religion of Israel for a while. And old Ahab and his wife, what's her name?
Jezebel.
Remember her? You heard of her? Jezebel. They introduced pure idolatry in Israel in the form of Baal worship. Baal is one of the outstanding false gods of the Old Testament. A bunch of them. But he's the noted one, Baal. Baal worship. You've heard of that. And as a result of the Lord's people, both of these nations leaving God, it just led to all kind of problems. They had political problems. They had social and moral corruption. And even though God intended to turn his people back to himself, that's his purpose. They had left God, gone astray into idolatry and all this foolishness they engaged in. And that's when God sent these prophets. And the work of these prophets, being the mouth of God, is to call these people back to God, to bring them back into the straight and the narrow way. So God raised up prophets like Isaiah to call his people back, like Deuteronomy 18 talks about, a prophet and the work of the prophet. And finally, this was fulfilled in Christ. All these prophets foreshadowed the coming of Christ. And Deuteronomy said, God will raise up a prophet like unto Moses, and him shall ye hear in all things. That's talking about Christ. And that prophecy is fulfilled in the New Testament. The heart of the prophecies is Isaiah 53. It's a great chapter. You ought to read it often. It's about Christ. And we will just read that when we get over there to that. I've already pointed out to you that the keynote of this book is salvation in the one to come. That's whom?
Christ.
That's Christ. Salvation in the one to come. All these prophets are pointing to Christ. They land the groundwork. In our discussion, God begins the book by calling upon his people as Isaiah had a vision. The vision of Isaiah. That's where the chapter starts out. The first thing he said, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. For the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me." Who are these children?
Israel.
The Israelites. By the way, who were Israelites? Mabel. Specifically, who were the Israelites? The children of whom? More specific. What person? Who?
Abraham.
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 Jacob.
Who y'all been? Moses.
That is children of God.
Yeah, but who was the father?
Abraham.
No. Israel.
Oh.
Children of Israel. Who was Israel before he was Israel?
Jacob.
Jacob had 12 boys. And how many girls? Mabel. Who knows? Jenny. One. What's her name?
Diana.
Yeah, you know now. These 12 boys became the children of Israel, of Jacob. And they became heads of the tribes. There were 12 tribes of the Israelites, and these boys headed up those tribes. That's who the children of Israel were.
Jesus was from the tribe of Judah.
Tribe of Judah. He was. Mm-hmm. So, he said, "I've nursed and brought up children," the Israelites. But they rebelled. They forgot God. They forsook God. And notice what God said about them in the first chapter, verses 2 to 4. He said, "I've nourished you, but you've rebelled." What do you do when you rebel?
Go against
God. A lot of young people rebel. They rebel against the parents' rule. They rebel against society. They rebel against authority. And those kinds of things. These people, the Israelites, were rebellious. They rebelled against God. That's the worst part. And then he used a little illustration in verse 3. What did he say the ox knew?
Its owner.
Ox knows his owner. And they asked his master's crib. What's in a crib? Corn, maybe. Food, yeah. Corn crib. You heard of that? You know what a corn crib is, Debbie? Never heard of it. Hard to tell what a corn crib is.
She should know. She's been a grand. It's a crib where you keep corn.
Yeah, a place you keep corn in.
Yeah, I played
in those. Okay. So do the rats.
Yeah. Well, you wish to keep a black snake in there to kill the rat.
Keep the
rat.
Black snake in there. Okay. There you go. He said these animals know that. How would an animal know about the crib, Alan? That's where his food comes from.
Really?
He said the animals know all this stuff, but Israel, my people, they don't know. That's one of the problems. They didn't know. And you become a dangerous prey when you don't what?
No.
Jesus said you shall what? Know what?
The truth.
Know the truth. Why know the truth?
It makes you free.
John 8:32. And Matthew 9:13. Jesus said, "But go and learn what this meaneth." In Matthew 11, 28, Jesus said, come unto me and learn of me. God expects his people to know. That's why we have this study. That's why we have Bible study on Sunday morning and Wednesday night and sermons. And so we'll know, so we can learn, so we'll know. We don't want to be like these people. They didn't know. It wasn't because they could not have known. They didn't want to know. They were too busy doing what?
The wrong thing.
The wrong thing? What was that wrong thing? Worshiping idols. Idolatry. Worshiping idols. Making golden calves and all kind of idols. And worshiping those things. They didn't have time to mess with God. They forgot him. He said, my people doth not know.
Anybody doing that today?
Oh, no. Anybody doing that today, Art asked? I don't. Who isn't? We've got to get to knowing, haven't we? How's the best way to learn, Edie? What? Study. S-T-U-D-Y. In 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul said, study. What for? So you can rightly divide the truth and be a workman that's not ashamed. 2 Timothy 2:15. You got to know. You can't do what you don't know to do. All somebody says, ignorance is bliss. Yvette, you think that's true? Ignorance is bliss.
Do I think? No. I.
Of course it isn't. Of course not. If it is, guess what? This class is over. Get out of here. We're not going to study no more. Why? We'll be better off not to know. If ignorance is bliss, it's not. Somebody says what you don't know won't hurt you. You think that's right? You think that's right?
Sounds like an easy way out to me.
What you don't know won't hurt you. If I don't know that a poisonous snake will bite you and kill you, I just pick him up. Is that all right? You know better than that, don't you? These people didn't know. And their children didn't know. You know why they didn't? They were not taught. Now, he told them to do that and how to do it. They had all the information. They just didn't do it. And he said, my people doth not what? Consider. They're inconsiderate people. Consider. We'll talk all night about the word consider. The scriptures often talk about consider. Consider this, consider that, and so on. Consider. Consider one another. Consider, and on the list goes. Verse 4, Isaiah 1. He's describing his people. A sinful nation. They were laden with iniquity. What's laden? What's the word laden mean?
Heavy.
Burdened down with. Heavy. Yeah, heaviness. That's the idea. A seed of evildoers. What does that mean? A seed of evildoers.
The children of evildoers.
Yeah, just keep going, won't it? Children that are corruptors. They had corrupted the worship, that corrupted the teaching, that corrupted themselves. Corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. That's bad business when you forsake the Lord. If you forsake him, guess what? He will forsake you. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel to anger. Does God ever get angry? Absolutely. You don't want to stir up his anger. It can be fierce. It can be stirred up. You can't read the Old Testament and not know that. And they're gone way where? They were backsliders. Backward. They went backward. Is it okay to go backward?
not spiritually speaking. And rather, he expects us to go where? Forward. That's what Paul said to the Philippians, forgetting the things that are behind. I press toward the mark, the prize, the high calling of God in Christ. I press, he told the Philippians. Why should ye be stricken anymore? Begin with verse 5. Will ye revolt more and more? The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. You're sick. All not physically. But how, Robin?
Spiritually.
Spiritually sick. You know, Jesus one time said, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they who are sick. Jesus is referred to in the New Testament as the great what? Physician. We sing a song like that every once in a while. Is there a song like that? The great physician now is near. Yeah. They were so bad off that they were sick from the sole of the foot even to the head. There's no soundness in it. Sick where? No, sick where? Sick where? All over. From the sole of the foot to the top of the head, they're sick all over. There's wounds and bruises. Putrefying sore. What's that? What kind of sore is that, Edie?
I'd say open
sore. Just an open sore that won't heal. Just stuff run oozing out of it. Not very pleasant, is it? Yeah. Corruption running out of it. He's describing the spiritual condition of his people. That's what he's doing. And these open, they're open sores. How do you know they are? They've not been closed. Just open sores. Just neither, they haven't bound them up. They didn't put any band-aids on or any wrappings. Just wide open sores. Neither mollified with ointment. They didn't put anything on. The Lord is describing the spiritual condition of Israel when Isaiah came on the scene. And he's calling upon Isaiah to do something about it. To try to get these people straightened out and do better. That's what's going on in the book of Isaiah. See all that? When you look at verse 7, he said, the country is desolate. The country round about them. The cities had been burned with fire, your land. Strangers devoured it. Even in your presence. Why in the world would they let the enemies do that to their land? They're too busy doing other stuff. They're desolated. And they were overthrown with strangers. And then in verse 9, point 2, he brings up a little word that you'll see beginning here throughout the rest of the Old Testament. What is it? Remnant. Could you define for me a remnant? And you could do that. What's a remnant?
Something that's left over.
Yeah, it's a small amount left over. Like maybe you buy a roll of fabric to make draperies or whatever. Or the upholster a chair. And maybe have a little bit left over. What do you call that, Loretta? A remnant. And there's some stores you can just go and buy some remnants. You ever done any of that? You know what they are? They're not something that small amount. Okay. Beginning here with this word, you'll see it time and time again throughout the rest of the Old Testament. God is going to preserve what? A remnant. Now, why is he going to do that? Why does God want a remnant spared? Who can handle that?
The seed be there.
Huh?
So the seed will be there.
So eventually?
So your seed will be there to re-sow the good seed again.
And eventually what happened?
Jesus.
God was on the verge of getting rid of all these people. He fed up with them. You know what? I just read about how bad they were. Had it not been for one thing, he would have got rid of all of them. The only reason that God, and this reason he sent these prophets, to try to recover or keep in contact a little small group, the remnant, through whom eventually who would come?
Jesus.
Christ. That's the reason. Otherwise, it'd all been gone. He preserved that seed, as Ray said, through which eventually Christ came. So I don't want you to forget that little word, remnant. Isaiah 1 and verse 9. Yes.
Remnant to me, like I was telling Edie, a remnant is like we'd be out in the woods or something, and you've seen a foundation where a house has been years ago. That's a remnant of something.
Plum that's left.
Something's left. And that's through time there that you have remnants of something. And that's what I've always looked at is that.
Okay.
You know, it's left over. Yeah, it's part of what had been, which has been carried over through time.
Yeah. Good.
And God's seed's always been there.
Yeah. That's the reason that the church is indestructible. You cannot destroy the church. I don't care what you do to it. Because remember, Daniel prophesied, he's one of the prophets in Daniel 2:44, that in the days of these kings, talking about the Roman kings, I think that's what I wrote about in the bulletin last week. What was that in there? In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom that shall what? Never be destroyed. You cannot destroy God's kingdom because it is eternal. And it can always start anywhere in the world. By what? By planting the seed, which is the Word of God. Luke 8:11, the seed's the Word of God. And you can plant that anywhere in the world. And if you got the right soil into which to plant it, what kind of soil is that that produces good and honest hearts? I know some people like that. And you'll see that develop. The reason that you are members of this of the church is because of the heart you got, the soil. Or you never would become a member if you don't have an honest and good heart. Do you know that? That's the only place the seed gonna grow and develop. People got good and honest hearts. The parable of the sower teaches that, remember? When they planted that seed on four different places. All the good and honest heart produced. Interesting, isn't it? Here it is. Now, in point three, God's attitude toward his people. Now, I'm making this point that due to, and we've already read about their sinful practices, God compared his people to two places. John, what was the first one?
The first one for number three.
Who? 3A.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
Sodom, the first one. What does the word Sodom tell you? What did you get out of that word, by the way, Art?
Not good.
What is it, though? Not good.
A sodomite. It's
what's a sodomite?
It's a lewd sexual thing.
Yeah, it's a lewd sexual activity. Sodomites. Sodom. Yeah. And he said, my people got that bad. And the second one, John, you said was who?
Gomorrah.
Isaiah 1:10. Who remembers the story of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah? Will, take off.
It was Lot and his family, and
yes.
God was going to destroy it because the people had become overrun, wicked, and God was asked if you find 100, and God said if there are 100 good souls, he'll save. And he was asked if there are 50, yes, and then it come down to, I think, 10, and God said yes, and then the two angels come into Sodom and Gomorrah, and they were attacked by the men of
the Sodomites.
And Lot's family,
homosexual.
Brought him in and helped him out, and then they told Lot and his family to pack up your things with your family and leave and don't look back. And no matter what you hear or see, don't look back and don't turn back. And his wife, because she couldn't leave the past behind her, turned around and she turned into a pillar of salt.
By the way, if God says don't look back, guess what, Jenny? Better not look back. That's a story. Good, good, good. Did a good job with that, Will.
That's the abridged version.
Those were cities, and God destroyed them. And rained down brimstone. We don't know where those cities are today. They are wiped from the face of the earth. They're so bad. Well, why is God using those two words here to describe who? His people. Israel. The Israelites. God's chosen Old Testament people. The Jews. These are Jews, by the way. Like Sodom and Gomorrah. And as a result of that sinful indication that we just talked about, how did God respond to these people from Isaiah 1, beginning with verse 11? To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices? I'm not going to accept your sacrifices anymore, he said. Saith the Lord, I am full of the burnt offerings of rams. What's a ram? Huh? He goat. And the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks, or of lambs, or of he goats. These were animals of sacrifice under the Old Testament law. And he said, I'm not going to have anything to do with that anymore. I've commanded you to do that, but I'm not going to take any delight anymore in your sacrifices. And he said, when you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand, to tread my courts, bring no more vain oblations, or worship, that's worship. Incense is abomination. They burned incense back then. He said, that's abomination. That's bad. I'm not going to accept it. The new moons. These were some days they kept. Sabbaths, including the Sabbath day. There were a bunch of Sabbaths. Every 7 weeks was a Sabbath. Every Saturday was a Sabbath. That's when you got the word S on the word Sabbath. The calling of assemblies. That is, they're coming together. I cannot away with it is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. That's God speaking. I hate those things because you've gotten so bad. They are troubled unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, what are they going to do then? Pray. When you pray, God, what are you going to do? I'll hide my eyes from you. I put my hand over my eyes. When you make your prayers, I'm not going to hear. Why? Your hands are full of blood. Wash ye, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek a judgment, relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. And then verse 18 is a classic. Look at it. Come now. That's one of the invitations of the Bible. And let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. What a verse. You ought to memorize that. So much great lesson in that. Do we ever sing a song like that, Ray? You remember offhand?
Yeah.
What is it called? Do you anybody know?
There's a song called White as Snow.
Whiter than snow.
Whiter than snow, or though your sins be as scarlet. Remember that? It's in this book, it's number 583. Could anybody lead that record tonight? Ryan?
I don't think I know that.
Does anybody know that? Though your sins, Don't get me started. Is that it, Alan?
Not really. The one I was thinking of, no.
Was that read it, Johnny?
Huh?
What number did you say?
It's 583. You know it, Ray?
I don't know that one. I know Whiter's.
What number is it? 698. What's that called?
Whiter than snow.
That'd be a good invitation, wouldn't it? Ray, you know that?
Yeah.
Maybe you can leave that after Ryan gets through with his. That be all right, Ryan?
Yep.
He won't object?
Nope.
Thank you. Well, I've used your time. By the way, when you come back Sunday morning at 9, we'll pick up right here where we left off and look at some more in the book of Isaiah. It's a great book. I hope you will get some good out of it. Mm-hmm. I love this book. Isaiah, what a book.
Oh,